Hey, hello there, everybody. It is Suzanne back with another energy update. These are actual client sessions where I share some pretty amazing information that I get. The client has given me their permission due to the fact that these are pretty much anonymous, but we learn from another. So I always ask, and if it's a cool story and they say yes, it's awesome for me to be able to share their information, I think, because each one of us can glean something off of somebody else's story, no matter if it applies to us directly or not. But this particular session was pretty epic. This was done on another gal who is indeed another form of energy worker. So she's incredibly beautiful, wonderful, strong woman. But she has struggled for many, many years with someone from a past relationship that she simply cannot seem to walk away 100% from the energy of this gentleman, no matter how much she has cut cords or done release work or whatever. And right now, in 2020, it is amazingly different out there in the world as far as how our dimensional lines and fields are so much open, and we are being able to traverse past lives very easily. And in this particular case, these two people, in my opinion, and hers as well, have had multiple, and I mean multiple, really engaged past life scenarios. And I think that because these veils are so thin right now, it offered us an opportunity to go deeper for the first time into this kind of a healing, to finally do a severing or finally understand what the heck was going on why this powerful lady could not release this particular gentleman. Now, it's not like he is actually even in her life. He very, very much in this physical world right now, in this incarnation, comes and goes from her life. But he is so powerfully connected to her that if she starts to talk about him or engage in conversations or thoughts or things around him, out of the blue, she'll land up with a text in the morning, or the next day he'll call or something like that. So there is indeed a very powerful line of energy that goes from these two people and connects in an etheric cord kind of a way, which in the long run is not necessarily healthy. At one point in time in this incarnation, they did indeed have a romantic relationship and kind of have an ongoing sort of a understanding of how that works when they see one another, but they have moved beyond that and would like to move from that, at least in my client's opinion. And so that was the work of the day. So what we need to understand is our past life incarnations can come forward and kind of play havoc with our energy fields. Not only our energy, but in these cases, emotional energy, mental energy, and even physical and sexual and sensual energy. And it's very depleting for someone when they're not engaged actually in a real live connected, encountered relationship with that person. So this sort of ability to come in just via the airwaves, if we want to put it that way, to me indicates that this gentleman, and this is not judging, this is not saying he's good or bad, anything. This is a gentleman that has in his past lives the energetic signature of sorcery, of being able to manipulate and vampire energy. And just because we're a sorcerer and an energy vampire doesn't mean we're a horrible bad person. I mean, there's so many of us that are vampiring energy all day long from our friends and our families and coworkers, etc. So we can't blame or label anyone who is an energy vampire per se. But hopefully these kinds of energy updates are going to help us understand and reset those boundaries from these kinds of people, because it can be very depleting on us. But somebody that has a dark energy ability, it doesn't mean they're evil per se, but it has a creepiness or an ooziness or a swirliness to it. It's very much like the scary movie kind of a feeling that they would do when you're watching something on television or on the big screen, to bring in that creeper feeling that, ooh, something scary is coming. That's kind of how this psychic attack energy feels to me. It kind of swoops in. It sort of has tentacles. Oftentimes it feels kind of like ominous. And so those are all kinds of things to kind of put your head up and say, does that ever happen to me? Because that usually to me indicates that the psychic vampire has some sorcery ability to them. And that can knock anybody down, even in my case of my client, another healer. That can bring that person to their knees, because these past lives have been very strong. And even in this lifetime, if she's a so-called light worker, that almost even makes it more difficult because this light beacon is out there and then this negative dark energy comes and then they clash and she gets hijacked. And so we decided to do a different take on the healing work this time. And I asked her if we could go a little bit more quantum and a little bit more holographic. And I love this woman because she'll let me go and play with anything and everything to find out stuff. And in this particular case, when we went in, it was a remote session. For me, it was really awesome to just be able to go into her hologram or into her life file or into what we would call her Akashic Record or Book of Life Files. And indeed, what was so incredibly interesting, the way that I did this work was, it was shown to me that she has life after life after life after life with this gentleman and lots of times very romantically involved. And it was as if Spirit was showing me that her file system was just completely jacked. It was like somebody came in and ravaged through the actual file system and through the folders all over the place. Therefore, the information was all over. And it's funny because my client says, when she has these remote interactions or these hijack situations from this gentleman, and it comes swooping in as that psychic vampire attack, she says, oftentimes I can't get my head around it. It's like I'm trying to wade through the information and make sense of things, and nothing makes sense. And this is indeed why, because when I get into her holographically, into that system, it can't make sense because all of the files are messed up. And I want you to imagine, if you choose, to see a big, you know, like a work desk with a pile of files that each have their own information inside, all in, you know, incredibly organized, and just shove that off the desk as with the most force that you can possibly imagine, and just envision how those papers are flying all over the place. You got files over here, you got papers over there, and everything's a jumble. This is why she could not get her head or her consciousness mental field around how to kind of like walk away from this once and for all. So it was incredibly interesting to me also when I envision a person and their soul. I oftentimes, if you're in my office, I will draw it like a stick figure, like you're a stick figure on a piece of paper. And then there's a line drawn from that stick figure's heart or the center of the line of the stick figure up above them. And then I draw a very rudimentary sunshine. So we've got like a stick figure with a line going from their heart connected to a sunshine above them, almost tethered above like a balloon would be. That sunshine represents the oversoul or the soul, and the nucleus of that sunshine holds all of our Akashic information of all of our soul's travels. And each tentacle or ray protruding out from that sunshine, when I do this work, indicates a past life. And each of those rays or those tentacles protruding outward are holding that past life's information very organized in their own file. But what happened when this particular scenario came about is the files went crazy. The information was everywhere. So these sunshine rays were no longer organized in a sunshine manner above the stick figure or my client. They were instead all like down poked into her actual auric bubble. So now again, we normally look at ourselves as a human being, meat and bone, but we know we're surrounded by an energetic bubble, which is our gas tank. And in this particular case, all of these files that were astray and all this information jarred everywhere was poking into her bubble, almost like she looked like a porcupine. It was crazy cool to see in a psychic kind of a way. Each of these porcupine quill kind of pokes were absolutely destroying the actual bubble, the gas tank, if you want to say that, her ability to hold her own power and her own force. And so it had destroyed the opportunity for her to have separation in any way. And again, it was crazy. It looked like a porcupine. It was so nuts. And so what I do as an energy worker holographically is I go in and I basically, from a circuitry standpoint in a quantum field, I go in and I organize the file system. And I go and I gather each of those files in those lifetimes and I put them back together in a very methodical way. And I stick them back into individualized tentacles or rays off of that sunshine so that everything goes back into the file system in an orderly way. Therefore, ultimately releasing the field penetration in her bubble that is her gas tank that is supposed to be keeping her safe as that stick form or the actual client meat body. So I hope you're following this because this is a very visual one, but it was incredibly crazy to be able to see that she looked like a porcupine because she had been so violated by all of this, you know, mayhem and chaos in the field. And it was really, to me, what this does is it basically, I think what's super important when we're working with past lives, and this is going to become more and more critical as the time goes on here, because once again, our fields and our dimensional planes of reality and existence are so thin. And if we're not careful in understanding how past lives work and how our Akashic records work and how the library system works or the file system works, we ignorantly or unknowingly will be picking up so much information from past lives. And this can really be a detriment to our field. Case in point is my client. You know, always depleted, always tired, always on kind of that eggshell thinking, oh my gosh, I just talked about him now. Boom, 2 minutes later he calls. You know, that's depleting. That's almost, it's almost like energetic harassment from the beyond, you know? So when we do this kind of understanding of we live in a file system of a hologram, that we have this ability then to go really forward into saying, absolutely not, my so-called bubble, my egg, my auric field is mine to play in. Oftentimes I also use like a metaphor of a sandbox. Get out of my sandbox. You know, you don't get my toys. You don't get my sand. You don't get to play in my box here. Get in your own sandbox. And I haven't invited you in. And so when these past lives come forward, it's because there's such a knowing of that person. But we need to remember, if we choose, and I seriously hope we choose, is this is not that lifetime. I may have had a really crazy romantic lifetime in one other, you know, time period, incarnation, etc. But this is a different lifetime, and I am at a different frequency. I have a different job in my life. I am a whole different incarnation. And we need to be very clear that these like tricky things of, oh, he or she was a past life lover, therefore, you know, we're going to find each other as a soulmate here. You know, that's all a bunch of crap and made up, in my opinion, in this metaphysical world about these twin flames and soulmates, and I'm going to find you and come back together. In my opinion, it's always a detrimental situation until I learn to maintain my boundary as my own personal incarnation with 100% connection to this is my purpose here. And if then I choose from a very grounded way to entertain a relationship with you, it is on my frequency terms of what I am now in this incarnation, not pulling information from that last incarnation or multiple incarnations with that ex. So it's really, really important for us to understand that these boundaries, whether it sounds kind of cool and romantic that I had a soul flame and he or she is back again, it's almost every single time detrimental to the field until we understand how to find these boundaries, reground, repurpose, and then reinvite if we choose, and or in this case, cut off. Now, this doesn't mean that she cuts this gentleman off from her life 100%, but what it means, hopefully after this work, is that if indeed she ever does come in contact with him again, which he is kind of a traveler, he sort of shows up and then doesn't, and then shows up and then doesn't. If indeed he shows up, hopefully this work now has solidified a absolute different frequency for her to maintain within that new bubble and field that says, I no longer have confused information. I am able to mentally decipher that this frequency is not what I have going on in this life or is what I have going on in this life. So her discernment process is very clear in the mental field. So that's what this kind of holographic boundary can offer both of these people. And, you know, we need to understand and have some compassion on the male end too here, in that he probably doesn't even have a clue that the sorcery or dark, you know, force energy and or this hijacking vampiric ability is even part of his essence. He may not even have a clue, or he may. But in a lot of cases, we don't have a clue that we're an energy vampire. We don't necessarily know that we're doing these things. On the other hand, there's very many people out there that do know they're an energy vampire, and they know that they're coming in and they're sucking you dry and they're getting their hit and they're getting their fill, and then they're on their merry way to go suck somebody else dry down the road and so on and so on. So we're you know, these vulnerable humans until we get educated. And part of the reason I do these energy updates, and I am so thankful to clients to let me share their story, is because this stuff's real. I mean, this stuff is out there. These people are out there. Our past lives are real. And so all of this stuff is something that we are, you know, wading through on a daily basis, unbeknownst to us, or hopefully after educating ourselves, known to us. This discernment process of understanding my ability to say, hey, I'm not going to take that on empathically. I'm not going to suck that in, or I'm not going to allow you to suck me dry. These are all mechanisms that we can learn, tactics that we can incorporate, and belief systems that we can hold as a strength to say absolutely not, and change how our absolute relationships work on an energetic basis. So amazingly, you know, like I said, this particular gal is an incredibly strong healer in terms of her sight and her vision. And remember, we were working remote. So when we hooked up again, following the work to kind of compare notes, if you want to put it that way, she says, oh my goodness, what the heck were you doing? All I could see was this like amoeba kind of thing with all these tentacles coming out of it, like this round kind of amoeba-y, mushy, you know, in motion thing out of the sea with all these like big, long tentacles coming out. And I started laughing because this is what she looked like, the porcupine that I was discussing, and or when we have that sunshine tethered to our body. That is how I see the soul. I see the soul as a cross between like a sea urchin, the look of a sea urchin, but it has the mobility of a jellyfish. And so she saw it as more of an amoeba kind of a thing. So I think that's so interesting that we all kind of have the same visions of what our soul in an energetic form can kind of look like, with that nucleus and these tentacles that are very fluid and flexible and or sometimes very sharp and pokey. So it was really quite interesting. And then she said she felt a lot of energy everywhere, but a lot of concentration in the sacral chakra, especially in the ovarian areas, the ovaries of the female body. And this is, I believe, due to the fact that there was so many lifetimes of sexual interaction between these two beings, that this was probably the most vulnerable spot in the chakra system for that vampiring action to come in. And remember, that is also holding not only our relationships, our sexuality and sensuality, but that chakra also holds our feelings and our emotions. So an energy vampire oftentimes will hijack the feel center. And that's why, again, the sacral is such a vulnerable area for hijacking. And this will not only go into the ovaries on both, you know, right and left side, but it can go into that lower back area, sciatica area, upper butt cheek area. All of that can really lock down, and it can really jack up the hips, which then can also mess up the knees. And this particular client was struggling just last year when I was with her in person with some really big knee issues. So this is adjacent to some interactions with that same gentleman. So his coming to her in an energetic form and or even in a personal form physically will really play with those hip structures, because this is where we house our belief systems. And then right above that is the sacral with those emotions, feelings, and again, relationship attachments. So it was quite amazing to see how much this kind of past life stuff could interpenetrate this incarnation and really kind of, like I said, hijack it, take it over and make it its own. So fascinating work, really super fun. I think it was kind of awesome too, because we talked at the end and we were kind of giggling. It was actually Halloween when we were doing the work. And I said, why don't you pull a whole hocus pocus when we hang up just for fun and go actually and literally surround your house with salt in a circle, because salt oftentimes wards off. And it's not, again, like this gentleman was evil and horrible and awful, but we want to give that client enough space and time to anchor in the healing, to anchor in that new frequency so that it won't get threatened or violated within the next days or so after a healing, so that it can lock it down. And I said, I had just watched Hocus Pocus on the television a couple days before that. And one of my favorite scenes is when the little girl grabs the salt, you know, container and throws it all around and then throws it around herself. And it just came to mind. And I said, why don't you seriously go and take some salt and do a circle and seriously and intentionally put down, this is my boundary of not only my body, but my home, and nothing gets to interpenetrate that. So that was kind of a yuck at the end. I thought that was super funny, and she thought it was funny too. So These are crazy, crazy times, people. We are having all kinds of weird stuff happen, and it doesn't have to be Halloween, and it doesn't have to be, you know, that big of a deal to run into a psychic vampire. So we're going to be putting out much more information in the next months to come on this empathing and this vampiring stuff, because it's really running rampant right now, and it's really indeed depleting people's fields. So once again, no, you can learn something from this if you choose to. And the biggest message is get your stuff together in terms of belief systems, cutting cords, and especially anchoring, grounding, and always bubbling. So until next, thanks for listening, and Cosmic Hugs.